All right. So don't have any announcements, do I? Oh, next year is 2015. Okay. So next year is 2015. So put that on your calendar. That's really good. Thank you, Lord, for that info. All right, we're going to worship this morning. Let's stand together. Let's kind of get everybody stretch out. Do what you got to do. I would say get comfortable, but don't do that. We don't want to be comfortable, but we do. We want to be comfortable in the Lord. We want to have a good time this morning. It is good to be together again. Would you say amen to that? It's good to be together again. It's good to have the fellowship, the unity and spirit of Jesus Christ that brings us all together. His blood, his resurrection, the life that's in each one of us. And we come together and we get to hang out and unify that and magnify who he is. And that's awesome. You can't beat it. Scripture in John chapter 4 says that the time is coming and is now, when worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And he's seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. And matter of fact, he is spirit. And we must worship him in spirit and truth. And yes, we are going to worship this morning. We're going to give praise and thanks and song and all that. But Scripture's talking about something a lot deeper than that, a lot deeper than that. And it's a lifestyle. We're going to worship him in spirit. We're going to let that fresh wind blow over us and renew us moment by moment. In truth, with all that we are, we're going to allow all that he is to replace and infiltrate all that we are. And it's not just a musical thing. It's a life thing. It's a freshness thing. It's a renewed thing. We're all brand new creations, correct? Yes, we are. We are. If you don't know that, you're brand new, thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to allow that Spirit of God just to come in. And as I pray this morning, as we start off, we're going to pray and we're just going to invite him in. We're just going to invite him. We're going to lay everything aside. Everything that has nothing to do with him is just going to be not just put on hold, but it's going to be bound and it's going to be put away. And it's not just going to be like, okay, we'll set this down, and when we're done, we'll pick it back up and walk out of here and carry it with us. It's going to be gone. It's going to be gone for good. Maybe you're having a great day already. Well, your day is going to get even better. Maybe you've had some struggles this morning, made some poor choices, or what has some weight that you're carrying. It's going away, and it's going to stay away. Okay? And that's, what does it take to please the Lord? Faith. Okay, we're going to approach him with faith, believing that he is who he says he is and that he will reward us when we seek him with all that we have in truth. Okay, so we're going to pray. And I just don't want to be the only one praying. Just because I have a microphone and I'm standing up here, I want to prompt you guys. We want to use this as a catalyst, a catapult into the greater things of God. So let's pray together and just begin to pray for us, for our neighbor. Just begin to bless the name of the Lord. Just begin to keep it real with him. Let everything out and let him just pour into us, okay? So let's do that together. Father, we are here this morning, God, to worship you, Lord. You are awesome and mighty in every way, God. We come before you, Lord, humbly, God, saying, Father, first, I will repent. God, I will just release everything that is not of you. Everything that is not of you, I would say, Father, I put it to the wayside, never to pick it up, and ask your spirit, your mighty, powerful, renewing, refreshing spirit, just to come abroad, just to come and wash and stir us up, renew us, revive us, and make us alive for whatever it is you have for right now, God. right now in truth, all that I am, Father, I want to just lay it before you, God. I want to be filled with your goodness, Father. I want to have everything that you have here for me this morning, God. I invite you here this morning, Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, I say come. I say you are here. You are welcome here. And I want nothing to refrain or restrict that. I want nothing to prohibit you from being who you are in my life. I want to worship you this morning. I want my words to be pleasing to you. And more than that, my heart and my mind to be fresh for you, God. For you, Lord. For you, Father. Come this morning. Have your way. Come this morning, Lord. Have your way. Father, we choose you. We bind anything unclean, anything that is not of you, we bind you in Jesus' name. You have no room here. This is not your place. We are vessels that purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are yours, Lord. This is your house. This is the house of the Lord. We are your children, God. Because you have grafted us in because of your love, we are your children, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for choosing us, and thank you for being here this morning. Father, we just ask you just to have your way, and we welcome you here amidst our worship and our praises, God. Have your way here this morning, Lord. Let that spirit of joy, of laughter, the renewing spirit just be here in this place, and we say it in the name of Jesus.
Search our hearts this morning. Come to him pure and white as he's called us to be. Just let the Lord search your heart. Get rid of any unclean thing and just draw us to him this morning. Let's come into his beauty, into his presence.
At your feet, all that we are, we lay before you. At your feet, all that we are, we We lay before you at your feet. And all that we are,
we lay before you at your feet. And all that we are, lay before you here at your feet, here at your feet. seek your face. Yes, all I am is yours.
My whole life.
My whole life I place in your hands. God of mercy.
Sloppy wet kiss and my heart beats violently side of my chest, and I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves. Grace in his eyes, if grace. Struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful.
You are faithful, God, you are faithful.
stumble again till I'm caught in your grace everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond.
Cry.
Praise and rise.
that's a theme that's in the Spirit of God right now, is to let praises rise up. And there's a couple different ways we could do that. If you feel in your heart that you just want to praise God, just thank Him, just glorify Him, you know, from the microphone so we can hear and agree with your praises and your worship, then please come up. But as the musicians continue to play, I would just like us to use our voices as an offering, as a gift to God this morning. I heard a teaching that the first thing that Adam did when he breathed was probably worship God, because he was taking God's air, breath inside of him. The first thing he did was exhale God into the earth. And so we get that opportunity this morning. As creations of the Almighty, as we praise and worship Him, we release Him in the earth. We release His power to do what it needs to do in our lives, in the lives of others here today, in the lives of our loved ones. Let praises arise. Let praises arise. If you're not used to that, just under your breath, just say, thank you, Jesus. That's a good way to start. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you, Lord, that your blood has cleansed my sin and made me white and pure and whole and clean and righteous in the Father's eyes. Oh, I worship you, Jesus. I praise your name, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy, your love and your truth, God, that you exhibit and you demonstrate to my life. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. So just with me, just praise His name. Just praise His name. Just give Him an offering. Not making you do it, I'm just giving you an opportunity. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. Thank you, Lord, for sending the ultimate demonstration of the love of the Father. The love of the Father in flesh in Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you that you loved the world so much that you gave. You love this world so much, Lord, that you sent. Lord, you love the world so much that you sacrificed your Son for us. We thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I praise your name, Lord. I praise your name. Praise your name. Come on, some bold saint, come up here and keep. Let's praise His name. Let's praise arise in this place. Let thankfulness and gratefulness of heart come into this place today. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your goodness, your grace. Thank you for your love, Lord, and your peace. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you.
Y'all go ahead and worship. Don't you feel the Spirit of God? Do you feel the Spirit of God? You're awful quiet now. I feel the Spirit of God in this place. We need somebody to come on and help me up here this day. Come on and help me, somebody. Somebody need to come on and help me up here. feel freedom right now. I feel such a presence. I feel such an anointing right now that I don't see how anybody can hold back right now. The altars is open. You need to come on. At least stand to your feet and let God have his way. Come on, somebody. Lord is not waiting any longer. He's not going to tarry any longer. You need to come on with God. Come on, somebody. These altars should be filled right now. Yield on my side. Father, your children, Lord God, they are coming. God, you said your harvest is plentiful, Lord, but your labors are few today. Yehata, we need you now. We need the Father, your presence right now, God. Just pour up over this congregation. Lord, just flood the souls right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I feel. What glory. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, somebody, come on. Jesus wants you to come on and make that step. Oh, he keep on inviting somebody to here to help me. Come on, somebody, come on. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Telling you, there's a glory right here, right now. In the now, there's a glory right here, right now.
Oh, there's a glory right here. Oh, there's a glory.
You got to pick up on this. You got to pick up on the glory that we're in right now. There's a glory that we live in, that we abide in, that we rest in, that is not something we conjure up, but it's here right now. We're in it right now. When you leave this place, you're in it. You're in the glory when you leave. The glory isn't about coming and manufacturing something. The glory is realizing it inhabits and it dwells in us. This is opportunity for us to exercise and to see the glory manifest in ways that then when we walk in the earth, in the outside of this building, it literally flows. This is an opportunity for us as believers to come and let the Spirit of the living God fall afresh on us. But not just fall on us, flow out of us.
Ooh, there's a glory.
You have something to share, hon?
So I listened to a sermon by Bill Johnson, and he was talking about how if we realized how much is out there, we would never live the same again. Like, you hear these testimonies of people who've been to heaven and been to hell, and they've seen it, and they don't live the same. And that's kind of how it is with us. It's like when you don't scrape the ice off the car and you get in, you can't see anything. It's just ice. It's just blinding you. It's not a big deal. But it keeps you from seeing the glory. So I just would bind that in Jesus' name so we could see the glory that's around us. Because we would never live the same again.
Hallelujah. Well, team, I think I'm going to transition us into the Word. Because I believe the Word is going to activate us, and then we'll come back after a share. Might go a little long, but This is what the Lord's put on my heart. And I really believe that you need to hear where we're at as a people. You need to hear where we're at in the day that we're living. And I believe it will give you faith and confidence to realize that we're not in normal days. I know you hear me say that, but I'm going to prove it to you today. I'm going to prove it to you today that we're not in normal days. I'm going to prove it to you that we're in days just as significant as the day when Jesus was on the earth as a young boy running around and people didn't have a clue, except a few. Didn't understand that Messiah was walking around all through their neighborhood. They just thought it was Jesus, the boy, the carpenter's son. I'm here to tell you we're in that kind of a day right now. Thank you, Jesus. Well, the children, are they going to go down today? Children are going down. No? Hang on a second.
Oh, yes. Okay, the Lord is wanting to release joy. Joy with the glory that Pastor is speaking about. But there is a great deal of confusion, and there's a great deal of lack of trust. And what I'm seeing is that there's a gate locked. There's a gate locked. And the Lord is saying, if you lay your burdens down, if you put them down, that gate opens. If you let go of the control that you have, the fear that you have, the doubt that you have, everything else that is blocking, just blocking that saturation from the Lord, if you lay it down, the gates that are closing off your heart to the love and presence of the Lord will open. And it's not going to be rough, because our God is gentle. Our God loves, and our God cares. So hear those chains snap open when you lay your burdens down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There should not be one person that leaves today that hasn't experienced freedom. There is freedom in the house today. And there's joy in the house today. If we're willing to just lay it down. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, team. Do you want to just come back up when that'll give you an opportunity to get a hand break for a moment? So the children are going to go ahead and stay up today, so I'll try to make it just as interesting for them. That could be difficult. anyway, so I'm going to be teaching how to utilize software like eSword. There's sites on the internet that you can go to where you can break down a Greek word and a Hebrew word. And some of you are saying, I don't even understand what that is. Well, I'm going to teach you the basics. I'm going to teach you in simple ways how you can take the Bible and dig deeper. I think there's a scripture that says that it is the, how does it go? It's the something of the Lord to hide a matter. It's like the it's his pleasure or it's his right to hide a matter, but it's also the pleasure, the joy of the king to search it out. And I believe that God has throughout the entire word nuggets and gold and treasures and reality and truth for us to discover as we dig deeper. And how many of I, as I said last week, have read the word before, and all of a sudden a scripture you read 100 times all of a sudden jumps off the page because all of a sudden a word maybe that you hadn't seen there before pops up. And all of a sudden reality comes. Something, truth, comes to your life and you're made free. Because as you know that truth and you walk in that truth, you're made free. So if you'd like to be part of this class, just sign up for it. And again, it will be 6 o'clock downstairs in this back room over here, which is impact room. And why am I going for that? I don't want that mic. Okay. In March, some of you asked, are we having Transformed? This year, we're going to have Transformed in the fall in March, which we probably have a sign-up sheet next week. We're going to have a marriage intensive, one life marriage intensive, and we're going to learn as husbands and wives how to be one with each other. What a concept. That'd be cool, huh? Praise the Lord. For all couples, dating couples, married couples, of course, married couples can come too, right? They should come, yes. Let's see, where is that controller, Jesse? The controller that I had up here? In the box, okay. I got to think outside the box. Exactly, thank you. That's not the controller. Oh, there it is. Ha! Okay, we will get to something soon, I believe. Hold on here. Let me get this started. How many are having a good day? Okay. So, before I start here, let me just say this. About 2 weeks ago, I was just having one of those times with the Lord and just, you know, questioning, you know, the things that he's put on my heart and, you know, like where I say, hey, we're in a new day, and, you know, I communicate those truths, but, you know, to say that I walk in that, as of yet, is like false, because I believe that we're to move into something new, but I haven't experienced it other than little measures of it, and so I was just like, you know, going back and forth with the Lord in my heart, and I was saying, Lord, you know, I really believe this. I really believe you showed me this. You've put this in my heart. How many know that when Jesus came on the earth as a baby, that there were some that knew that he was supposed to be there then? And they were actually in the temple, some waiting for him to be able to see him with their eyes. So the Spirit put something in the people who were there. Not all of them, but there were a few. And so I felt in my heart that the Lord's been putting things on my heart, and I'm just like, Lord, you know, I feel this, but I just haven't seen it yet. And I know I have to walk by faith, but I said, can you send me an encouraging word? Can you send me something that, you know, will help me realize that I'm not all wet here? And so he told me to do something that morning, and I just out of the blue, and because I personally believe, and hopefully I'll be able to show you, that God did some revelation and opening of my eyes and then showing me things just that were available, information that I will show you that made me go, wow, okay, Lord, I truly believe that we are an Enoch generation. I'll just say it. We're an Enoch generation. And if you want to know what that means, I'll explain it. So he said, go to
the place where Enoch shows up, which is, I knew, was chapter 5 of Genesis. And I turned to chapter 5, around verse 20, starts talking about Enoch's birth. And he said, look at Enoch's age. So remember, I was asking God, you know, show me something. And he said, look at Enoch's age. So I did. And I knew kind of what he meant because I knew that Enoch sounded like in the Bible, and I've read it before, that he didn't walk with God until after a certain point in his life. And so I thought, oh, he's going to show me the years that he started to walk with him. But that's not what he did. So let's turn to it. That works here. Oh, wrong one.
Yeah.
Need a technician. Okay. Please be praying now. We're trying to use technology. And every time I try to use technology, it barks at me. Okay, you gonna work? Is it working? Hang on. It's not me, it's the technology. It's like when it gets a demand on it, it's like, oh, I don't want to do this. And if this goes south, I don't think I can. I mean, I can, I will. The Lord will give me grace, but it will be really hard to try to say these things and explain them. Okay, Trent. What is it doing? Cast down the demon, somebody, because I was using this earlier this morning. It was working fine. Come on. Is somebody like downloading a movie or something? Because it's not even functioning here. Someone, be honest. Can we see that screen? We can't even see that screen. This is what happened last time. Okay, I'm going to restart my iPad. I'm going to continue to talk and believe. How many know it takes faith? There's that. Let's try this again. There's two. Okay, hang on. It just goes black. There's like iPad demons or something. No, I didn't erase it. I'm looking at it right here. So anyway, so I'm talking to the Lord. Let me see if I can continue to do this while I restart. Talking to the Lord, and I'm saying, you know, Lord, show me something. And he shows me that as I read this verse, that it says that Enoch, when he was born, he lived 65 years. And then it says, and then he had Methuselah. Now, Methuselah was a special baby because if you look at the date that he died, it probably was the exact same year of the flood. Some believe that it's very possible that what is that? Oh, it's like Josh thought God was talking to us for a second. Using some foreign code. He's like, I think if God talks, we're going to really know it, right? It's like Moses. I like saying that. Anyway, that wasn't directed to you, Moses, so don't worry about it. Anyway, 65 years, and then he had Methuselah. And, oh, good. Okay, we're back with that. Please. I don't work well multitasking. Can somebody dance or something while I... Josh, you can dance. Oh, Josh put on a hat. There you go. It won't even, my iPad's not even starting. It's just the craziest thing. There it is. It's what? I don't know what it's doing. Who's ever listening to this on the internet's going, what are they doing? I tell you, we're as professional as they come, who's ever listening. I heard this saying one time, an expert is just a drip Has been drip under pressure.
That's it. Thank you, hon.
Did we get it? Oh, yay! Praise the Lord. Nothing that you don't, a restart won't fix, right? Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus. You going to work now? It's like Keynote is the culprit. Yeah, right. No? Yeah, just don't look at that. There. Everybody praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. After about 45 minutes, we're back. Okay, so Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Okay, so when I read this, all of a sudden my heart starts to go, whoa, I just received something. I just received something. And I felt in my heart that the Lord wanted me to go and check something out after that. It says, then after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So Enoch's life was 365 years. Now, if we read the very last part of 23, it says, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years, repeated. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, let me show you what I discovered last night before I get to the other part, because I think this is important. Remember what I said about the class? This is a Hebrew word. It's wayit helek. Wayit helek. I'm probably butchering it, but that's pretty close. Now, let me tell you, this right up here is Strong's Hebrew word, 1980. It's the word walk. So there are like iterations of the Hebrew language. It can, you know, it's like we have walk. We have walking, we have walked, we have walks, we have walker. But we don't have very many. You know how many iterations they have for the word walk? 198. Yeah, that is crazy. And so what word are they using here? Well, they're using a word that was only used 5 times in the Bible. And every time that word was used, when you literally translate it, it showed more than just walking was going on. If you look here down at the bottom, you can't read that, so let me help you out here. Go to this next one. Oh, this is where I show you the name, Wayit Helek. But there's 1980, that 1980 is the Hebrew word. You can go look this up in a Strong's Concordance, and it used 1,549 times, 198 different ways. So when you use this word, which is only used 5 times out of that 1,549 times, you start seeing this pattern. Now, in 2 Samuel 11:2, it's used as, and it came to pass at the evening time that David rises off of his couch and walketh up and down. That is the word walk there. That's that word wayit helek. So what's happening here is that in this passage, it's being translated walketh up and down, okay? Do you see that? Now, this is when David was going to basically have Delilah pop up in front of him because he's on his roof. The next one is 1 Chronicles 21:4. And the word of the king is severe against Joab, and Joab goeth out and goeth up and down in all of Israel. In other words, searching up and down, scouring the place. This is that same word that's used for Enoch. One more. So here, actually in Ezekiel 19:6, the word is used, and it's translated, even the King James, and he went up and down among the lions, became a young lion, and learned to catch the prey and devour the men. I'm not focusing on these verses to tell you, to preach on these verses. I'm showing you that these 3 other passages, it was only used 5 times. The other 2 times, it was when it was talking about Enoch. So if we go back here, can we do that? And not blow up. Come on. It's working. Slowly, but it's working. It's there. Okay. So look at, and look at this. If you read this this way, and after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked up and down with God. Ooh. That sounds a little different, because you see some commentaries, and what they end up saying is that Enoch walked close with God. And so we get this picture of Enoch that he had a good relationship. That's always, I was thought about Enoch. He read his Bible. You know, he had a close relationship. While everybody else was going to hell, Enoch had a close relationship with God. That's not what it's saying at all. This is a literal word that means Enoch walked all over the place with God. But not just here on the earth. I believe Enoch walked up and down, folks. Oh, where are you going, Pastor Mike? I'm going where no people usually go before, except some have. I'm trying to tell you that this is a special generation that we're in, and we have got to prepare ourselves for when we're living right now, the hour that we're in. Enoch walked up and down with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked up and down with God, and he was not, for God took him. Why do you think God took him up to heaven? Because he was used to being there. We think that, oh man, he got so close that God just all of a sudden took him up there. No, that's where he spent time. Now you're going, though, Pastor Mike, you're really going out there. No, I'm not. The Bible is. Lost in translation, though. Do you guys see that? How three other times you use that word, even if you take the up and down part. Those are talking about people going off their couch, up and down, people scouring the land. It's not just walking in a relationship. This is not symbolic. This is an actual event that took place. He would walk with God physically. Okay. I thought I was going to sit down and be all calm and everything. Not happening. Okay, so this is just the beginning. So I'm going, now I didn't even have that till last night. Okay, this is really cool. This is on the internet. This is a chart that gives you, if you see right there, there's Adam, there's Seth, Enos, Canaan. There's the genealogy of the first people that were on the earth that are in the Bible. And if you look at this, this is very interesting. If you look at Enoch right here, now he was seventh from Adam. That means Adam was his seventh times grandfather. Get this. Enoch could have been communicating with Adam physically. Now you talk about somebody who walked with God before the fall. You think Adam maybe didn't share, man, before we blew it, you would not believe what we saw. You would not believe what we did. You would not believe the glory that we experienced. Do you think maybe that might have been the case? And Enoch hears from his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather what it was like to be close to God. And Enoch, by faith, it says in Hebrews 11, what? Please God. Because he believed. It's simply believing, folks. We need to just realize that we're in a special day, a special time, and walk in it. Okay, so let me show you something here. This is just like so you could see that he is the seventh from Adam. Now, how many know that seven is a really interesting number because it means fulfillment, completion. It means you know, a resting time. I mean, there's a lot when you look at that word seven. And he was seventh from Adam. There's those 65 years right there that he probably didn't walk with God like he walked with God or even knew God after he had Methuselah. I asked Gay, I said, why do you think it was after he had Methuselah? Because he got the Father's heart. He had a kid. He looked at the kid. He goes, oh man, I love you. Then he realized, you know what? God loves me. My Father loves me. And you know what? I don't care if nobody else is going to have a relationship with him. I'm going to walk with him. And guess what? He did. You know what Enoch means? Initiation. Dedicated. It means that he was one of the very first ones who was given special instructions about a process. And that was the process of walking with God, literally. See, folks, we're coming into the day where we can walk with God differently than we've walked with him before. You may say, Pastor Mike's off his rocker. I'm just telling you, I'll show you even more stuff that'll make you start scratching your head. Maybe it'll make you scratch my head, I don't know, or knock me in the head, but I encourage everyone to search this information out that I'm going to get. You can go back and listen to it, and you can try to follow along. Okay, so This is a little more blow up there. 65 years he walked alone or without God, and then he walked with him. So Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Some people say, well, Enoch just, you know, he died, but it's just he went to be with God. No, he did not see death. That's what the Bible says. And was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now listen, this is what God asked me to do. And I am not a, what's the word? You know, one of these individuals that looks at Israel and says that Israel is the, you know, is the true, you know, people of God only, and or that you know, I've been in a camp that kind of says, you know, Israel is going to be touched by God. They were the firstborn. All those scriptures are true. But I really felt that God was working with his church. And so I never really paid a whole lot of attention to the 1948 scene. But God said this to me. He said, now take 1948 and add 65 to it. Something interesting happens. 2013. Now, if you start thinking of 2012, what was 2012 supposed to be ended? The end of the world. But it really wasn't supposed to be the end of the world. The Mayans said it was the end of an age. Now, some of you say, well, how could the Mayans have information about God or have prophecies? Folks, Balaam was not a Hebrew. He was outside of what would normally be covenant. This man had a very close, tight relationship with God to the place where God was giving him instructions of how to bless Israel instead of cursing them, that the king who wanted him to curse them. So what I'm trying to tell you is that don't get all religious and say, well, just because they were Mayans, they had no clue what was going on. And the world didn't end, so they were all wrong. No, they had something, and they knew that we were coming to the end of a time. We were coming to the end of an age. And folks were coming into a new age. And I'm not talking new age. I'm talking that we're coming into a new time in God. Yes. Oh, I will. Because I didn't even know it until I got into this. I just did what he told me. Folks, all I'm doing is being obedient to the Lord. Okay, 1948, 2013, I started remembering that 2013 was when kind of I really was starting to open up to the heavenly realms and saying, God, I feel like you're calling me, and I don't know how to respond, because it's a different call. It's like he was tugging on my heart. It's like he was pulling me. But I didn't know how to react even to it, because it's like it was contrary to what I knew. Okay, so let me, this gets so good. Are you ready to just start getting socks blown off here? Okay. So get this. In 1948, Israel is born as a nation. Now, a lot of people know that, and they say, oh, wow, that's good. And there's people who talk about the prophecy in 1948, and there were people that said 1988, Jesus is coming back, because it's 40 years, a generation. And I don't want to get into all that prophecy, because I truly believe that there's plenty of teaching out there on that Israel, you know, being reborn was very, very significant, and that there was all kinds of prophecy that went with it. I don't want to necessarily get into that. I want to just show you some things that are just so plain as day that says, oh my goodness, something is going on here that we're not aware of. Or if we are aware of it, we're not giving it the credence and the attention that it needs. Okay, so in 1948, Israel was born as a state. Look at what date on this paper. May 16th, 1948 was a Sunday paper. Now, this was the Palestine paper. This wasn't like an Israel Ram paper at that time. Palestine was like a governed, I guess, a republic. What do you call those that when Britain has a territory, a governed territory by Britain? And what Israel did is on May 14th, get ahead of myself, go to the calendar here. No, hang on. Oh, no. May 14th, 1948, zoom in. Israel declares their independence. In other words, they wrote like a Declaration of Independence on May 14th, 1948, and they said, we are not going to be under Great Britain's rule anymore. We declare independence. Now, we did that as a nation in 1776. How many know that it took a long time before we actually were walking in our full independence? We had to beat up Britain. Or at least make them so tired of losing money that they backed off and said, you know what, these guys are renegades, they're crazy, just let them be on their own. But in one day, folks, Israel went, after a declaration of independence, to independence. Britain called a special meeting. They came to order. They said, at midnight, we are going to go ahead and make Israel a state. Now, this all looks very interesting. But when I started looking at it, I said, those dates are interesting. Because there's something that's going on in those dates. Yeah, there is. Let me show you. If we go to the 15th, Great Britain releases Palestine, Israel officials' first day as a nation. So on the 15th, Israel became a nation. Guess what happened on the 15th? Come on. May 15th, 1948, at sundown, it was the official starting time of Pentecost. So May 16th, Sunday, shows up as Pentecost, right? But the 15th, sundown, is actually when Pentecost started, because the Jews celebrated their days at sundown and sunrise, or sundown and sunset, or something like that. In other words, every sundown was a full day. So in God's eyes, Pentecost was really started on the 15th. So Israel became a nation, folks, 1948 on Pentecost. Now, if that doesn't make you go, huh, what's going on here? Because Pentecost is the day that we were born as a church. That's when the Holy Spirit came. You thought Pentecost was just fulfilled on our day. No, but Pentecost was fulfilled again when Israel became a nation. Now, the reason this 1948 is so important, I'll say it, is because if we're going to add 65 years to something, and we're going to say that it's meaning that we're in a certain type of day, then we better really understand that that 1948 means something. Does that make sense?
No.
So on May 16th, Sunday, that is called the actual official day of Pentecost, but it happens on sundown on the 15th. Everybody get that? Okay. So on Pentecost, so 1948, add 65 years, we're at 2013. Okay? 2013, let's just say this. For 65 years after Israel was born, the church has been moving, living, breathing. And actually, ever since then, we've had some major transitional shifts. Holy Spirit's been poured out in the charismatic movement, the refreshing of faith, the word prosperity came. I mean, you look, all of these truths were reestablished. Up to the last 5 years where really the truth of that we're sons and daughters has been reestablished. So God has been reestablishing these truths this last 65 years. But it was like a testing time, so to speak. It was like a preparation time. Just as I believe Enoch's first 65 years. Maybe that was the closest that he was to Adam. I don't know, but something in Enoch's life communicated truths to him. Not just God. I believe he had an opportunity to hear from people. I believe God prepared Enoch in those 65 years. And then when he had Methuselah, was the trigger. Folks, 2013 is our trigger. Now listen to this. 1948, 65 years, 2013, 1948, watch this. Now on that same chart, started looking, guess what year Abraham was born if you start from Adam to Abraham? 1948. Ooh. Do you guys see that? Oh, some would say, well, that's just a coincidence, Pastor. No, that's not a coincidence. Don't rob God's beautiful plan. God is a master craftsman. He is able to show himself and show his plan and reveal truths and realities to his people, to the world, by showing numbers. And that's no accident that Abraham, who's Abraham? Abraham is the father, the true father of the Jews. In 1948, he's born. How many years? Almost 4,000 years later, 1948, boom, Israel's born. Again. Do you guys see the significance of the 1948 date? Again, folks, you call me crazy, call me, you know, hearing voices, but I'm just asking the Lord, and he's having me do this. I didn't even go and research this stuff. I just saw the 1948, and he said, take the 1948 and add the 65 to it. I was blown away with that. As I've been studying these other things, I realized the truth, hopefully, is going to make us free. Now, what do we do with this? Pastor Mike, this is a lot of great information. You know, you sound like somebody on TV who's, you know, who's teaching these deep teachings and stuff, but that's not my point. I did not want that to happen. What I want to have happen is this. 1948. Is this. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says this. The sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200 and all their brethren were at their command. David was just now about to become king of Israel. Saul and his families were dead for all practical purposes, and Israel was kind of a divided kingdom, and certain tribes were starting to come, and the sons of Issachar were a tribe, and they had 200 chiefs, but it says that they knew the times, they understood the times, and they knew what to do. Family, I want us to understand the times. I want us to realize that this is just not 2014, another year of our Lord. This is 2014, a year after God has started to do something new. And I want us to be the place that we start to know what to do. I can't tell you exactly what that is, but he knows. And I want us to be ready. I want us to have ears that hear. I want us to have hearts that are open, attentive, ready for when he speaks. I used to think that it was just all about, you know, being ready for disaster. But I tell you, it's being ready to be called by him higher. And it's by faith. I keep saying, Lord, just take me. Just like, well, Enoch walked by faith. It's by faith. But I believe we're in the hour where the faith is being deposited. I believe we're in the hour where something has happened even inside of us. I believe if have our DNA checked, I bet things are happening even in us biologically. I know you're going to say, Pastor Mike, you're crazy. No, I'm not. We are not of this creation. How many times have you heard that? We're in the world, but we're not of the world. So what if God... You know, it says in the Bible, it's very clear that there is a day when some will not sleep. What is he saying? Some won't die. It's really pointing to, it looks like we could be that generation. Not in an egotistical way, in a grateful way. In a way that says, wow, God, you planted me on the earth for such a time as this. And I'm humble. I'm grateful. How can this humble servant bless your kingdom? Because you must have saw something in me to put me here and now. You must have saw something in me that was special, or you must have made me special to be ready and to be here now. Kids, I'm telling you, young children, listen, you are in a time like no other time. You're going to walk with God like in your younger years, like we've dreamed. We're going to join you, but you're going to have experience with God and they're just waiting for you. I know this is out there, but how many know that God's out there, way out there? I think it's time for us. Remember a few months ago, God had me preach something. I preached it, but I struggled with it. It's like, your ways are not my ways, the Lord says. But he's trying to make his ways our ways. He's trying to make our thoughts same line up with his. And to him, having that relationship with Enoch, he was just waiting for someone on the earth to say yes and amen to you, Lord. I walk with you. Remember, that word means to walk up and down. And do you see why this stuff as it continues to stir in me on Sunday, I'm just like, holy cow, folks, let's move into where we're already at. Because see, we're already seated in heavenly places. We already got one up on what Enoch had. See, Jesus had not even gone to the cross, folks. Now, in Christ, he was crucified from the foundation of the world. Maybe Enoch somehow connected in with that like David did. But we have a better covenant, it says. And why can't we walk with God? Some of you say, well, that's like blasphemy. Why is it blasphemy? You know, they called it blasphemy when Jesus said that him and the Father were one, but he was just speaking the truth. You know, you and the Father are one. You are. In Christ, you are one with the Father. There's no separation. There's no dividing line. If we could start to see this. Last night we were singing just some, playing some music. I was over with Glenn, and the Lord started having me sing that I'm bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Now see, that's what we think for husbands and wives. But why do we limit it to this space? Because, you know, we're the bride of Christ. And in God, it's a finished work. We just have to work out the details, but it's a finished work. So really, I'm bone of his bone, I'm flesh of his flesh. Is this too far? Have I gone too far? I don't hear siren. I don't hear Funny Farm coming for me. Is it not clear as day or mud to some? Okay, look at this one. 1948, 65 years, 2013, one more year. We're in 2014. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to change in our lives? That's not going to be some religious response or some fearful response. No, in a way of gratefulness and truth and reality of who we are as children of God. What are we going to do to maybe just prepare ourselves to walk? Prepare ourselves to be part of this supernatural kingdom that's being manifested on the earth. Come on, guys. I mean, to me, this blows away the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl. I'm telling you, it does. For God to show me, I mean, I'm just asking him. Somebody that's not like a scholar, never been to Bible school, never studied Hebrew and Greek, but for him to allow me to put it together, man, you guys don't know. They're going to be, but Pastor Mike, you're smart. Yeah, right. Not that smart. That's grace, folks. And I know it's hard to fathom, and you're going to have to digest this, but I want you to go and digest it. I want you to go and search it out yourself. I want you to go and prove me wrong. I want you to go say, Pastor Mike, you know, I have been reading the Bible, and I have some challenges with what you said, and I want to be able to converse back and forth with you. I want to reason with the Scriptures. That's why I want to teach you to be able to dissect the word yourself so you can come up on your Sunday. Folks, you're not going to believe what God showed me. It's not about Pastor Mike. It's not about my show. It's about truth, folks, and however God has to get it out. Listen, if we don't get the truth, we will not be free. We will not be free. We will be living a lie. We'll be living a lie, trapped in indecision, trapped in our own inadequacies, and we will not become who we're called to be. So the truth is essential. The truth is critical. Truth is right now life and death. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. So, 2014 is where we're at. We've gone 66 years since Israel became a miracle nation again. Abraham was born in the year 1948. I think 1948 is significant with God for some reason. And it just makes sense that he's saying, you know what? He is born in 1948. Let's make them reborn in 1948. And you know what? Let's throw one more in there. Let's do it on Pentecost. And I bet if some of you even dug around, you say, oh, Pastor Mike, you would not believe what else I found. You guys would not believe what it took for Israel to become a nation, because we're talking, it was an Arab mainly populated area. So God, first of all, had to bring these people from all over the world back to Israel. It was like all of a sudden they were released after World War II to go back to their homeland. But they came from everywhere. All of a sudden, it was populated with Israelites. I don't want to get into all that. But you guys will see that it was a miracle. And is it not clear that Enoch was a supernatural working being here on earth? If he wasn't supernatural and he's here the 365 years, he became supernatural because he left this earth without touching death. So it tells me that he had something. And I believe, for whatever reason, in our DNA, in who we're made up to be, and it's being awoken in many of us. Now, some of you hear this and you go, yes, amen, it makes total sense, Pastor. Some of you are just going, tilt, 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 tilt. This is too far. He's gone too far. I just wait for that. Tells you how much confidence I have sometimes. Huh? I have confidence in God, but yeah, like not always in myself. Yeah. But the point being is that there is a day that we're in right now that God has ordained. You and I all live in it. What are we going to do now that we realize? And maybe we've realized it, but I realize it even more now. We're in critical times. We're in biblical times. We're in end times. I don't know what Paul would be preaching to us if he was here. Would it be the exact same thing? I don't know, because you know he had the revelation of the days that he was with Jesus, so he may be adding a lot more to it. But I'm here to tell you these are significant days, and I want you to go discover it for yourself. I want Holy Spirit to speak it right to your heart. I'm not talking about how to live a good Christian life. No, I'm talking about how to walk a walk that has never been walked before. How to be a son and daughter of God that has no model at this point. What did we think when God said, you're going to be going away that you've never, but we had a prophecy come to us. Pages of blank pages were turning. You're going to be going places you've never gone before, doing things you've never gone before. And, you know, and I always thought, well, it's going to be a new form of prophecy. It's going to be a new, and immediately my church model came in, and you know, and but folks, he meant we've never been here before. And where we're going, we need God's grace to go. We need the Holy Spirit's guidance and leadership, which he's there for us. So Glenn, do you want to come up and play a little bit? And I would just like us to end in worship. I'd just like us to end in allowing Holy Spirit maybe to speak to our hearts in a fresh way today. And I encourage all of us just to come around here, because I believe something's going to be imparted. I don't believe that the Lord had me share this just so that it would seem like, you know, Pastor Mike is smart and found out something. I believe he wants to do something here today. I believe some of you are going to start lying in your bed at night and just wondering, are you drawing me up now, Lord? Or some of you are going to start walking, and all of a sudden you're going to look, and you're not where you normally are when you're walking closer. You may be walking in heaven. You're maybe walking with angels. Listen, we have got to remove the boxes. I'm not saying in a heresy way. We have to believe the truth that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and he's the only reason we can do any of this. This is not because we're something special. It's because we're made something special because his death, burial, and resurrection. And that if you don't have a relationship with him, he's begging to have one with you. He's begging so much that he shed every drop of blood that he had, to where when his heart was pierced, hardly anything came out but water and a little bit of blood. He spilled it all for you and I. I believe he emptied himself in more than one way. And not one drop of that blood was in vain. Not one soul is meant to be lost.
Not one heart is meant to be rejected from the Father's love. So would you gather with me? Let's take a moment and worship.
Jesus.
your love. Great is your love. Great is your love. Great is your love. When you speak, dry bones live again. When you speak, oceans cease to rise. When you speak, nothing's impossible. Great is your love. Great is your love. When you speak, dry bones live again. When you speak, oceans cease to rise. When you speak, nothing's impossible. Great is your love. Great is your love. Great is your love. Great is your love. How can I be weak? You have found me. Great is your love. Great is your love. How can I be sick when you have healed me? How can I be dead when you made me alive? And how can I be weary when you have strengthened me? Great is your love. 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 When you speak, dry bones live again.
Yes, Lord.
When you speak, oceans cease.
Yes, God.
When you speak, nothing's impossible. Great is your love. Great is your love.
Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for putting us here on the earth now. Lord, we don't truly see or understand why. But Lord, we know by faith, God, we will see why we're here, what we're to do. But I pray, Holy Spirit, today, that you give us an ability to have an understanding of the times. Open up our hearts. Open up our minds. Open up our being to receive, Lord, the truth of the time that we're in. The truth of the reality that we're not normal days anymore. Lord, that there's not a sitting back or a waiting that we're to do anymore, Lord. We're to move forward in you. We're to walk in you. We're to walk with you up and down. We're to walk with you to and fro, Lord. We're to walk with you, Lord. Literally, God, I pray that there'd be a reality of that in our lives. That a true relationship, a relationship that we've always thought there's no way until we're in heaven, is even possible. But God, I thank you, what's impossible for man is possible with God. So we just receive right now, Lord, your reality of truth, the truth that will make us free. And God, we want to be fine-tuned.
there's any area still in what we're understanding or even what was shared today that is maybe even held by lies, I pray that it would be released, God. Lord, we want your truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help us, Lord. So help us, Lord. That's all we're after is the truth. We don't want any more faces that just put on a mask, Lord. We want reality. We want truth. We want transparency, God, and we want heaven's reality here today. So I bless your people right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for this family of believers. Thank you for hungry hearts that aren't satisfied with the norm, that want more. Not only so that they can just have more, Lord, but so they can give it away, so they can share the glory of God, the grace of God, the love of God with a lost and dying world. We just thank you, Jesus, that you're the one that's made everything possible. We praise your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you all. If anyone has any questions or wants to come do a body slam on me, Josh, just, you know.